Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. We thank God for being here today. We thank God for his many blessings. Amen. For the multitude of his tender mercies. Good to see you all this morning. Amen. Good to be on the Lord's side. Thank God for being saved today. Amen. I thank God for all of you, our church family. Amen. We give honor to all that honor is due. We give honor to Pastor Hall in his absence and to all of you in your respective places. We thank God for another day with the Lord. Amen. So we bow our heads, Lord. We thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, and we thank you for all that you do for us. And even now, Lord, as we go into your word, we pray that you would bring out something that we all could take away from here to apply to our own lives so that we might continue this race that you have set before us in victory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. When you have it, say amen. I'm just going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to focus on verses 14 through 16. It says, "Therefore, let us fear lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, 'And God rested on the seventh day from all his works.' And again in this passage, 'They shall not enter my rest.' Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long time, just as it had been said before, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.'" Let me say that again. "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as a division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, for all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us therefore draw near with confidence, with boldness, to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. The word of the Lord is blessed. When we look at the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, it's concerning in talking much about rest. Amen? Rest is a valued commodity. Amen? Rest is something that we all feel we don't get enough of. Do I have a witness? Amen. Okay. All right. It just seems like we can't get enough rest. Not only physical rest, but mental rest. Amen. Sometimes being unrested mentally is just as tiring and just as draining as physical. You know, if you go out and you do a long run, or if you do a lot of work, you know, you're physically tired. But a lot of times the mental tiredness is even more debilitating to your body than the physical. Amen? Because actually physical tiredness is good for you. Amen? I mean, you may feel really tired and maybe even a little sore after you work really hard physically, or go for a run, or do your workout, whatever you feel, but it feels good at the end that you worked some of those muscles, that you did some of those things. It's a good tired, if you will. Mental exhaustion is not good. Amen? It's draining. It causes other things to happen in your body that might not normally happen. Headaches. Chest pains. Pains in different places that, you know, you're wondering why. Mental exhaustion can cause those things. Amen? Mental exhaustion causes you to not sleep well. If you don't sleep well, you can't get the proper rest that you need. Can I just throw some shade on the devil today? Do you mind? Listen, the devil constantly wants to talk to us about how we can't never get enough rest. It doesn't matter how hard I work, I can't never get ahead in my finances. It doesn't matter how many times I tell my children not to do this or that, they continue to do this or that. He'll tell you that although the Lord healed you the first time, you got it again, so it must not be, the Lord must not be doing his job. Amen? Sometimes the devil will get us to a place where we feel like we are all alone. Have you ever felt like you were all alone? I mean, all alone, and people were around you? Huh? Family was around you, crowds were around you, co-workers were around you, but you feel all by yourself. He gets you to thinking that the things that you're going through all by yourself. And then he'll tell you another lie. He'll say, you know what? It don't make no sense to go talk to those church folk because they don't know what you're going through. They won't understand. Nobody understands. This is your fight, and man, you're in it. Doesn't he talk to you that way? Don't he tell you that it ain't never going to get better, that you're all by yourself, that
no matter how hard you try, it just don't, you don't see a difference. You take one step forward and you take two steps back. You can't get no rest. Well, let me remind you something of something that God said when you accepted. How many have accepted Christ in your life as your Lord and Savior? Let me tell you what God promised you when you did that. He said, first off, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is that my words? Or is it in the Bible? It's in the Bible? It's in the Bible? It's in the Bible? He said, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will be with you until how long? Right? So, devil, you're lying. I'm not all alone. All right? I'm going to stop believing that lie because I'm not all alone. God said, I'll be with you always, even till the end of the world. You know what else he said? He said to the disciples and he said to all of us that would follow him when he went back to be with God. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. Huh? Is it Bible? I won't leave you comfortless, but I will leave you another comfort in the Holy Spirit that will be with you always to guide you, to teach you, to convict you, to do all the things that the Holy Spirit does to keep us on the right path. Am I right? So we got, God said he would never leave us nor forsake us. The Holy Spirit is with us always, whether we like it or not. Huh? And then he said in one of our favorite psalms that we like to read every time we have a funeral, Psalm 23. He ended it up and he said, surely. Now that's a word right there. Huh? Surely. Not maybe. Not sometimes. Not if you do this or if you do that. Not if your things go your way. Not if you're of this nationality or you're that. Not, he said, surely, surely, goodness and mercy. Look at somebody, say, goodness and mercy shall follow you how long? All the days of your life. Huh? And you're going to let the devil tell you that you're all alone, that you can't, nobody understands, that nobody knows what I'm going through, that my situation is unique, that I keep on doing. You know, see, there's two ways you can look at this thing. You can look at life and say, every, you know, if it ain't one thing, it's another. You could look at it that way. Or you could say, every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. Same life. Look at it two different ways. Amen? I want to tell you something. What you say, what you put out there has a lot to do with what you'll go through. If you're constantly talking about every, if it ain't one thing, it's another. If I can't, you know, I get done with this, I got to do. If you're talking like that, that's your life. You will live it. You will be looking. As soon as you get done with one situation, you will immediately start looking for another problem. Amen? That's your life. That's your life. An old pastor of mine used to say, those who look for boogers will find them. Amen. What you look for, all right? But if you have the attitude that, you know what, through it all, yeah, I'm going through some tough times. Yeah, life is hard. Yeah, things don't seem to go my, but every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. Every time I think that I don't know how I'm going to pay this off, somehow, some way, money comes from somewhere, and I'm able to get by and do what I have to do. Every time it seems like my kids aren't getting it, they're just not hearing me. Every now and then I'll get somebody to tell me, boy, you got some good kids. Me? No, you're talking to her kid. No, you got some good kids. They're so manly. You talking about my kids? Yeah. Listen. The enemy wants to tell us all the bad news. But see, we know and we've been told even by the Word of God that life is hard. Amen? It's precious. It's valuable. It's wonderful. It's a great day to be alive. But don't think that you're not going to come across some trials and some tribulations and some hard things along the way. Let me just remind you what Jesus said in John 16, 33. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation." Listen, we have peace in him, but we're living in the world. So as long as we're down here, we're going to have tribulation. But, he says, "Be of good cheer." Why? Because I, Jesus, have overcome the world. In other words, there ain't nothing that goes on down here that's stronger, that's better than me. And as long as you're in me, we are overcomers. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what you so dearly want and need." Rest. 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 How many could use a little more rest? Amen. Where are you going to get it? He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Thank you, Jesus. And you know, for those times when the devil wants to tell us that nobody understands, that nobody gets what I'm going through, nobody knows my situation, the Bible told us in Hebrews that we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We're never alone. Thank you, Jesus. You know, sometimes we just don't know what to pray for. Sometimes we just don't know what to say. And you know, even as I was listening to the songs today, the Lord even put it on my heart that when you were singing Holiness, I mean, you know, when you're not really sure what to pray for, when you're not really sure what's going on, you can say, "Lord, take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, conform it," or transform it, right? "Take my will and conform it." That's simple, but that's how you can talk to God. "Lord, take my heart, Lord. Take my heart, Lord." Amen. "I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this is happening or that's happening, but Lord, just take my mind and transform it. Let my will be conformed to your will. Let my thoughts be like your thoughts. Let my mind think what you would have me to think about the situation." Thank you, Jesus. He is able to give us rest because he craved the very same peace and rest that we need when he was down here. Nothing will ever touch your life that didn't touch his in some way, shape, or form. What wounds us has also wounded the Lord, and this is why he can show us sympathy. But this is the thing. He wants us to challenge, you know, God don't mind us challenging him with his word. Amen? You might say, I can't challenge God. That's God. I ain't gonna. No, he don't mind. Tell me. Tell me what my word says. Tell me. Challenge me with my word. He wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen? He doesn't want us to tiptoe up there and say, Lord, you know, you think maybe I could get some. No, no. He wants us to come boldly and say, Lord, you said this and you said that. Lord, I'm yours. I'm looking for help here. He likes that. Because when you come boldly, you're coming in confidence, knowing that I know I'm going to the source that can help me. David said, look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from where? The Lord. You need help? You need rest? He's got it. Amen? He can show you what you have to do. Now, I want to let you know, with all that being said, sin takes away from your rest. Sin takes away from your rest. That's why, if you notice, the biggest difference from your saved life to your unsaved life, you can never get no rest in your unsaved life. It was always, because sin, there's something about sin. It, you know, of course, we enjoy it, or we wouldn't do it, right? But sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll do you worse than you want to be done. Amen? It'll bring you places that you never thought you would end up. See, we like to dabble in sin and then get back on the other side. Amen? That's what we like to do. We do just a little bit and then get back over here. And see, and the devil gets you to thinking like, hey, everything in moderation, right? We could do a little bit. There ain't nothing wrong, just a little bit, right? I mean, goodness gracious, you go to church 3 times a week, you do this, you give your tithes. A little bit ain't bad, right? You ain't a bad person if you do a little bit. So because we like it so much, we try to do a little bit and then get back over here. I'm all right. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm good. Therefore, no condemnation. Amen. All right. Ain't that the word, Fred? No condemnation. I'm good. Just a little something over here, doing that. But this is the thing. He gets you over here, and then he says, oh, just what about here? And I'm like, you mean here? Yeah, here. Okay, here. And then you get back over there. Whew. Oh, that was fun. I'm good, right? I'm good. And then next thing you know, it's here. And what about, ooh, look at that right there. Just once, nobody will know, just once. And you get here, oh. Next thing you know, you're way down here. Way down here. I mean, you are lost. I mean, you can't even, you're looking for a GPS trying to find your way home. You are somewhere you thought you would never, ever end up by just dabbling in sin. You ever wonder how I know better? How'd I end up? I mean, I've been taught for years, good teaching, good training. How did I end up way over there? Huh? Because we like to just dabble in it because we think we got it. We think we're strong enough. We think we can do just a little bit and come back. But sin will always take you farther than you want to go. And you talk about rest, you don't get no rest in sin. Especially once you're on the Lord's side. Because you know what? One of the things, see, you'll still sin after you become saved, but you will no longer sin comfortably. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying you won't sin, but you will no longer, you know, things you used to do over there that didn't bother you too much, that you didn't even think twice of, you just did it, oh, well, everybody's doing it good, everybody's good. You do that thing over here now that you're on the Lord's side, it's eating you up inside. I mean, you're just feeling like you're the worst of the worst. You're feeling like, oh, my God, this is, how did I do it? I mean, you can no longer sin comfortably on the Lord's side. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells within you now. Goodness and mercy follows you now. And you know what the great thing about it is? When you're on the Lord's side, grace is chasing you down. What? Grace is chasing you down. In other words, he's following you, waiting for you to mess up so he can be right there. He can't wait to give you grace. On the Lord's side, what can we expect when we approach the Lord? Well, he's promised us that he would help us. In verse 16, it's translated from a word which described a mooring chain. This was a chain that was used to moor a sailing vessel in place and kept it secure even in the worst of storms. And that is what the Lord has promised to do for every one of us who belong to him. He keeps us standing even in the midst of storms. For again, the Bible says, when you've done all to stand, amen? When you've done everything you know to do, when you've tried this and you've tried that and you don't have any more answers, when you've done all to stand, the Bible says, stand. Stand on the word of God. Amen? If you want some rest today, you got to know whose side you're on. You got to know whose you are, and you got to know that it's not about you. Even when you go through hard times, have you ever wondered when you go through hard times or when you're going through something, you know, something happens, you know, thank God we got nurses in here and everything. You know, sometimes people go through hard times. They're in the hospital, and maybe it's just a nurse showing them kindness one evening when they really needed it. You know, that bedside manner, just showing them that kindness that they needed at that point. Maybe someone, you're at a, you know, whatever is happening in your life, God always has something or someone in the path there to encourage you. Amen? I don't care what the devil tries to tell you. You're never alone, for he said he'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Not only that, he's got goodness and mercy following you everywhere you go. Isn't that wonderful? Everywhere I go, I got goodness and mercy following. Just follow me, Fred. Just follow me everywhere I go. Goodness and mercy just won't leave me. Just follow me all around. And that's why I can say every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. Come on and give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can cry the blues if you want to. You can keep saying, if it ain't that, it's this and all the other thing. Or you can say, every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. Amen.
God's been good to me. He's been good to you. In the midst of it all, when we didn't deserve it, he yet is good to us. When we did the wrong thing, he showed us grace. He keeps on doing great things. And sometimes you just need to tell the devil, with God on my side, who can be against me? Who? Now you, he already defeated you. Who can be against me, devil? With God on my side. I got goodness and mercy following me. I got grace chasing me. I'm just blessed whether I like it or not. Thank you, Jesus. Let us stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank God that we serve a loving God. Thank you, a merciful God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Earlier in the scripture, it says, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Maybe there's one today that has not yet made that step over to the Lord's side. We come to remind you that Jesus died for you, that he didn't stop there, but 3 days later he rose with all power in his hand. He gave himself for you, that you might have life, and that more abundantly, even in this crazy world. Nothing needs to be done on your part. All you got to do is accept the gift and say, yes, Lord. We don't have to do a credit check. We don't have to do a background check. We don't have to grill you with questions. If you believe Jesus died for you and that he rose again, all you got to do is say yes if you haven't done so. It's a gift, and it's for everyone. Every single one. If you've been running ragged, living without the Lord, come on over to this side where you can get some rest. Come on over to this side where you can get some rest in the Lord. Is there one today? Jesus. If you don't take anything else away from what we talked about today, I want you to be mindful as you leave this place of the mental war that goes on in your mind. Your thoughts have a lot to do with your rest. More worry, less rest. More trust, more rest. Did you hear me? More worry, less rest. More trust, more rest. Stop trying to figure everything out. Stop trying to come up with all the answers. Stop putting a burden on yourself. You were never meant to carry it. Do what the Bible tells you to do and cast all of your cares on the Lord, because he careth for you.
When you do that, your mind will come at ease. You'll be able to say, I don't know, Lord, but I just trust you. I don't know how it's going to work out, Lord, but I trust you that it will. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but Lord, I trust you that you have my good intent, my best interest in mind, because you love me that much. You start thinking like that. You start trusting him like that, and watch and see, won't your rest increase? Lord, we thank you for this day and for your blessings. We thank you for the word of God that comes to remind us, to teach us, to encourage us, to convict us day in and day out. We thank you for your goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our life. We thank you for grace that's chasing us down every day. And most importantly, Lord, we thank you that you love us so much, that you care about each and every one of us, and you keep on doing great things. Lord, we ask you for special blessings on our pastor. We pray that he's getting good rest, Lord, and that you bring him back safely in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you to bless his family, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless him in a mighty way. Lord, we thank God for you answering prayers and leading us along the way. And we will follow. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank God. Amen. Come on and give somebody a hug and tell them you love them, and there ain't nothing they can do about it.